Hello, and a very warm welcome to Whitley Bay Baptist Church's weekly service. This morning, as part of our series on being a kingdom citizen, we're going to be considering the beatitude that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." My name's Helen, and I'm a member of the leadership team here, and I'm also part of a church house group which meets most Wednesday evenings. We're a raggle-taggle bunch of people from all walks of life, and each week we come together to study the Bible, to pray, and to support each other on the front lines where God has placed us. In more normal times, we meet in our front room, but as with so many other groups and organisations, we've become pretty good at meeting via Zoom since lockdown began. We've been through some tough times. The last 18 months haven't been easy for several of our members, and we have supported each other through tears and real heartache. But a lot of the time we laugh, and my house group have become some of my best friends and amongst the people I turn to first when I need prayer or advice. If you're not a member of a house group, I really encourage you to join one. Any member of the church leadership team will point you in the right direction. Every member of our group will be taking part in today's service as we look at what it means to be pure in heart and consider truth and truthfulness. We focused our thoughts particularly around the first three verses of 2 Corinthians 4. When we look at the Bible reading as part of our meetings, we will often read it in a variety of translations, as looking at several versions can offer a different perspective to the Word of God. So expect the reading a few times today, followed by the thoughts of some of our members. But right now, David's going to begin our meeting with a prayer of praise and blessing, and then Jane will lead us in some wider prayers.
Sovereign Lord, as we gather today, we choose to lift our hearts and minds to you as one and in worship. We acknowledge that you alone are God. There is no other. You and you alone are all wise. You and you alone are all present. You and you alone are all powerful. Sovereign Lord, we praise you in your holiness and for your love. We give thanks that you have revealed yourself to us as Father, as Son, and Spirit. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for eyes to see, a mind to comprehend, and a heart to respond to all that you have done in creation. We thank you that through your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself upon the cross as a ransom for our sin, we might be reconciled to you. We thank you, Father, that he now lives forever, interceding for us. We thank you also for your Spirit, who is one with the Father and the Son, who lives within us as our comfort, our counsel, and our strength, a deposit of the things to come. We ask you now to draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you, in the certain knowledge that you have promised wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be, right amongst us. Amen.
Let's pray together. I wanted us to pray together for things that are always on my heart. I wanted to start by praying for schools in the area. As we pray for schools that you know or schools that you live near to. I wanted to pray for leaders. They always have a very hard job, making hard decisions, but over the last year and a half, it's been even harder. I pray that they can continue to be wise in the decisions that they've got to make. I pray that you, Lord, can energize them, as it's been a long time and they've still got to make many decisions. I particularly pray for the decisions they've got to make for transition, for those students that are leaving their schools, helping them prepare for the next stage in their education, but also for those that are coming to the schools. I pray that they can think of great ways to support those students in preparation for next year, that they can reduce their anxieties about coming to a new school. I really pray that they can be creative, Lord God, that they can look to you to help these students. I just pray that you can uphold the leaders of our schools in this area, Lord God, and keep them going, Father. I also pray for teachers and all adult educators in our schools. Again, I pray that you will continue to give them the energy they need to keep going. I pray that they can have the patience that they need to manage their students in the best possible way, Lord God. I also pray for relationships between leaders and teachers and all the other adults in school. I pray that you can help them to understand each other, to get on, and I pray that you can help them to be great teams working for the best for their students, Lord God. And I pray for the students, the reason that we're there in schools. I pray that you can help those that have a relationship with you continue to strengthen that relationship, Lord God. I pray for students in the years that have supposed to have been doing exams but haven't done the actual official exams but have done lots of other things and it's been very stressful for them, Lord God. I pray for them as it's come to an end. I pray that you can give them peace, Lord God, and rest and relaxation, Lord God, and some joy, Father. But also I pray for students that are still in school. Again, I pray that you can energize them. I pray that you can help them as they move towards the summer holidays, Lord God. I just pray that you can bless them and keep them safe. Lord God, I pray for a thing that's been talked about a lot at the moment, and that's a good thing. I pray for the mental health of everybody in schools, the mental health of the adults in schools, the mental health of the students in school, Lord God. I thank you so much that it's become a thing that we talk about, and I thank you that we can prioritize it and that we're aware of it, Lord God. I pray for all those people that are there to support our mental health, counselors in schools and other people, Lord God. I pray that we can be more understanding of each other and our mental health, Lord God. Thank you. I want to move on to pray for churches, Father. Not just our church, but all the churches in the area that have also had a tough time over the last year and a half. I want to thank you so much for all the leaders and all the workers within the churches that have done an amazing job helping all of their congregation and members to continue to meet together remotely and to worship. I pray that you can continue to energize all the leaders and all those in the churches that are continuing to do this hard job, Lord God. I pray that you give them wisdom to continue to make great decisions about how to open our churches safely, how to bring us back together, Father. I thank you that all churches are talking about this and trying to do it the right way. I pray for our leadership team as they're making these decisions, Lord. Help them to be united. Help them to look to your will to know when is the best time to do this, Father. Lord God, I praise you for your faithfulness and your love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Help us to bring joy and peace to everyone we meet, to remind them of how great you are and how much you love and value us all. We'll end this prayer session with saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Eyes are turning to you. Therefore, since God, in his mercy, has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhand methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing.
Hello, I'm Karen, and I'd just like to share a few thoughts around one of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 8, which reads, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." It's quite an enlightening thought that in the English dictionary, the primary definition of the word blessed is not wealth or comfort or even happy circumstances, but it is in fact being made holy or consecrated. The Greek word for pure in Matthew 5 verse 8 is katharos, which means to be clean, blameless, and unstained from guilt. Katharos can refer specifically to that which is purified by fire or by pruning. Thanks be to God that we can only be clean and guiltless because of our belief in what Jesus did by dying on the cross for each one of us. This wonderfully releases us to want to do good things because we are saved, not doing good things to try and be saved. I can't claim to be a gold refining expert, but apparently when gold is refined and heated to melting point, the impurities in it separate into a layer on the surface of the gold, and then that can be skimmed or taken off. So although we can't hope to be perfect in this life, we can trust that God will use whatever painful and difficult things we go through to refine us and take away our impurities and make us more like Jesus. I'd just like to finish this little thought with a verse from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Trial and torture. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't manoeuvre and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. If the message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All this talk of refiners, fires, gold, purity, this brings to my mind the great Sunday school favourite of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a gold idol, and at the sound of trumpets and various assorted instruments of the time, all were required to bow down and worship. Anyone disobeying this command would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Being Jewish men of God with pure hearts, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego didn't follow this command, and so were reported. summoned to the king, who demanded to hear from the men themselves. Their refusal sent him into a furious rage. He declared to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter, bind the men and throw them into the furnace. Furnaces are typically around 1,000 degrees Celsius and were used in those times to make bricks. Interestingly, in Babylon at that time, they used glazed bricks, which required a hotter temperature of 1,300 Celsius. So I guess they were used to getting the furnace extra hot. 7 times hotter can be understood to be maxing out the furnace, like turning up the dial of an amplifier to 10 and then some. So we hear the furnace was so hot that the guards taking the tied up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego into the furnace were killed. What became of those 3 men though? We pick this up in the NIV version of Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't the 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." And so he called them out. They were unharmed and didn't even smell of the fire. Verse 28 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god.'" So with these thoughts in mind, I pray that our hearts and motivation will be as pure as this. And I pray that we'll have willingness to follow God into whatever fiery furnaces we may face. Amen.
Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing.
Good morning. My name's Dawn. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 4 at the moment. And I just wonder, what is truth? Remember, Pilate said that on that fateful morning of the crucifixion. What is truth? Now, Jesus didn't answer. But I bet if Peter had been close enough to hear, he would have shouted out, not what, but who? Jesus himself is the very embodiment of truth. John 1:17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us who God is, his character, his very being. And just as God came down to speak with Moses on Mount Sinai, face to face as a friend, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came down to us that we might see God face to face and know him as Moses did, as a friend. When asked, Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this," and I'm using the Message translation here. "The first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here's the second, love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these." And you know, that's what Jesus did. And he recommends that we do the same. And the Apostle Paul echoes that, both in our reading and in Romans 12:2, which says, and again from the Message translation, "Here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him." And the Apostle Paul also says in our reading today that we don't manoeuvre and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. In other words, we don't please ourselves what we do with this precious word that we have. We have to give it just as we received it. You know, Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the religious scholars of doing just that, of twisting God's word to suit themselves. And by that, they placed a burden which was too heavy to bear for the ordinary people. So then, how do we live as citizens of the kingdom? Well, we have to live out the truth as well as speak it. God in us, by his Spirit, allows us to imitate Jesus. Not always flawlessly. We always sin, we get it wrong. But by his Spirit, we can be empowered to live as Jesus lived. And because we know by God's own description of his character in Exodus 34, where he says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, we can live that life. We can be assured that ultimately we will see God face to face. One day when Jesus returns again, when we, by being forgiven of our sins, will see him just as he is. Because just as God called Moses his friend, Jesus calls us his friends.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I was thinking about this as a question. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, pure is a single substance, nothing added. Everything except the one substance is removed. In the same way, we need a singleness of heart for God. Reading the Old Testament, Psalm 24, says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from that God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob." In the Beatitudes, Jesus doesn't just mean change our outward behaviours, which might make our outward appearance look good in other people's eyes. Our hearts are where God sees, even when no one else does. Our inner motives need to be changed and our desires given over to God, so we desire him over all else. And when we make mistakes, we can know forgiveness, know God's grace and mercy if we ask and repent, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us all. When we do surrender our wills to God, he will draw near to us by his Holy Spirit, who strengthens us. Some of our parish nurses send out encouragements every week. This week, Annie sent out a beautiful collage, and two lines particularly caught my attention. And it says,
Two things to remember in life. Take care of your thoughts when you're alone, and take care of your words when you're with people.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. Child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me,
his grace runs deep.
While I was a slave to sin,
Jesus died for me.
Yes, he died.
With a blessing, adapted from the blessings course and from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Bless us now, Lord, as we go from here. Be with us and all who are dear to us. Be in the eye of all who see us, in the mouth of all who speak with us. Keep us in the beautiful attitudes, joyful, simple, gentle, and pure in heart. And may our love abound more and more in knowledge and depths of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best
and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.